Speaker brother Sohail. Assalamu alaikum brother, welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I would like to thank all the listeners to be part of this session, inshallah.
Inshallah. That's all right. For today's discussion, we want to talk about a sect which is called nowadays as Wahhabis or Wahhabism. So some people say that this sect, we can say, did not exist in among the Islamic sects, or especially the Sunni ones, and the Shias has created this terminology in order to refer to, for example, to special behaviors of some Muslims. Historically speaking, what do we have about Wahhabism, Sheikh?
So I would like to start from historical roots of Wahhabism. If we go back to our history and look up its painful events, some of those events shall attract our attention to reveal to us that Wahhabism, which we have known in this century, had ancient roots since the very beginning of Islam.
Okay.
They were apparent at one time, hidden at the other, doing taqiyya, which they do deny right now. One time they appeared daringly, and the other time they hid because of fear and dissimulation, what we call taqiyya.
Yes.
Until the time that Islam had regressed and its pillars and great personalities were afflicted,
yes.
Then colonialism came to feed and strengthen this new thought.
Yes.
The aim behind it was to destroy the sanctity of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muslim, due to colonialist thoughts, sanctified two things, the Quran and the Sunnah. These are two basic sources of the Islamic Sharia that was targeted by them. They know that the speech of Allah can never be changed and distorted because Allah Almighty has undertaken its preservation.
Yes.
But as for the Prophet's Sunnah, it is liable to distortion and fabrication. In fact, since the first day the Prophet left this world, disagreement took place amongst Muslims on the Prophet's Sunnah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
However, the colonists perceived that the scholars of the time of the nation had set right for the Sunnah and collected its true and reliable traditions and put laws and rules to keep it safe from increase or decrease. Therefore, they thought of a satanic trick that might help them do away with the spiritual matters that the most active factor in this life of Muslim. It was that whatever Muslims gave up on these spiritualities, they would approach them step by step with unfaithful materialism,
okay.
And then they would become like the scum of flood. Over
right.
Here, we would like to talk some of the events that took place after the prophets,
yes.
And during his last period while he was in okay. this world. And we have this hadith of Qartas.
Yes.
You see, where they come and say that one of the brothers at that time would come and tell the Prophet that the Prophet had asked for paper and pen, and this brother would come, or this companion would come and say that, na'udhubillah, you have gone like into this, you are not thinking properly.
Yes.
And therefore, Quran is enough for us.
Uh-huh.
You see, taking only one part of it, because when you say that you follow Quran and Sunnah, means everything that the Prophet said. So Qirtas is actually the Sunnah of the Prophet. By neglecting it, you are thinking about something else. And the second incident was, again, after the Prophet has passed away, a companion came ahead and said that for those of you who believe in Muhammad, Muhammad is dead.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of you who believe in Allah, he is alive and will continue.
Okay.
For this kind of statement to be made, it is such a kind of nonsense, because anyone who says that if you believe in Muhammad, nobody believed Muhammad was Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone believed Allah was Allah.
Yes.
And everyone knew that Allah would continue in the religion.
So sorry, do they have any specific fiqhiya school of thought, the Wahhabis, I mean? For example, are they Hanbali, Shafi, or something like that?
Yeah, so here what we know is that I would talk about
yes.
something that would clarify this.
Okay.
Here we would like to say that it was Wahhabism in its prettiest clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Clothes and clearest tongues. It plotted yesterday and is trying now to execute the plot for today and tomorrow. Here I would like to talk where the Muslims are accepted as sects,
okay.
which will go back to Egypt,
okay.
Al-Azhar University,
yes. okay.
where a lot of Muslims take their sect for ideologies and fiqh matters from that school.
Okay.
Historically, Al-Azhar had a membership that represented diverse opinions within Islam. The theological schools of Al-Ash'ari and Maturidi
yes.
were both represented, and it has long tradition of teaching all four schools of Islamic thought,
okay.
which is the schools of Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, and Hanbali.
Yes.
In 2016, Ahmad Al-Tayyib reissued the fatwa on Shia Muslim, calling them the fifth Shia
yes.
school of Islam,
okay.
and seeing no problem with the conversion from Sunni to Shia Islam. Now, the term Wahhabism was not used by Abdullah ibn al-Wahhab
yes.
himself.
Yes.
They used to call themselves as Salafi or the Muwahidun.
Yes.
You see?
Okay.
But as we see, we normally have these names. For example, we have over here Al-Ash'ari, Maturidi. Al-Ash'ari is Ash'air, the
yes,
people
yes.
who follow him. The Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, and Hanafi are also schools
Hanbali.
Of thought that, yeah,
yes.
Hanbali, that take from these scholars that were
yes.
over here. You see, they call themselves Salafis, they like to be called. But because they were following the ideologies of Abdullah ibn al-Wahhab, that's when this Wahhabi came to existence.
That's right. Muhammad ibn Abdul-Wahhab.
Yeah, Muhammad ibn Abdul-Wahhab.
Yes, yes.
In theology, Wahhabism is closely aligned with the Athari.
Mm.
Athari means traditionalist.
Yes.
Okay. School which represents prevalent theological position of the Hanbali legal school.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So if you see at this point, yes, they are part of sect, but not as itself. They stay behind Hanbali school in this progress. As a school in theology, no, because the Azhar accepts the Al-Ash'ari and Maturidi
yes.
as the school of thought, not Athari.
Yes.
We have Ash'ari and Athari.
Okay.
Athari theology is characterized by reliance on Zahir, like the apparent or literal meaning of the Holy Quran and Hadith, and opposition to rational arguments in the matters of Aqidah favored by Asharites and Maturid. Over here, I would like to say that right now in Al-Azhar, Wahhabi is not a part of sect.
Yes.
It's a dimension of a Hanbali mm-hmm. sect that but they are still different from Hanbalis themselves.
Is it true that Ibn Taymiyyah thought had direct effect on the Wahhabis?
So, the roots also do come from there as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so yes. they have certain followers, but because in that time it was not that heavily
uh-huh.
Approached compared to the time of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, that's why that went down door and the Wahhabism spread from there because of these roots that they had at the end. As I said, that these roots had begin from the beginning of Islam towards
yes.
the end, but it gained its strength in the end towards Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab with the support that he was getting from the West.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
There are some opinions, Islamic beliefs related to Wahhabis. For example, giving visitation to the graves is forbidden. Building out the buildings or domes or something like that on the graves is forbidden. Just going to do tawassul to them is a kind of shirk. You know, that's all right. You cannot swear by the names of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawassul again is forbidden. Having celebrations for the birthday anniversaries of the infallible Imams or, for example, Prophet Muhammad is forbidden. Tabarruk is forbidden. And all these, according to their thoughts, are forbidden. Are they really rooted in Islam? I mean, we did not have such traditions in Islam to do so. Prophet Muhammad himself used to give, for example, visitation to the holy tombs of Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, and we can say the martyrs of Uhud, even crying over the graves, doing salutations for them, doing supplications for them. So where do these ideas come from?
So we have the same issues regarding this, and one of the issues, apart from the ones that you mentioned, is that according to them, God has parts and limitations.
Uh-huh.
He has a body.
Okay.
You see?
Oh, and this is what they believe?
Yeah. So okay. as I mentioned, why do we call Wahhabis a diverted path? Is because they believe on the essence, on the literal meaning of Quran. For example, we have Yadullah. In the verses of Quran, okay. We have some verses that literally means face of Allah, hand of Allah. In some of the traditions, we have that, na'udhu billah, Allah will show his feet on the day of judgment and he will put on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Where some of them have said that what kind of hell it is, where the Lord of Muslims first will be going to hell and like make sure the hell is filled. You see, these kind of ideologies are there in their sect. Regarding tawassul and these things, what you said is true. They have this belief because they take everything literally. So, for example, regarding tawassul, they will bring some verses regarding the Holy Quran that says that only Allah should be believed and no one else. You see? But
yes.
At the same time, they would delay out the verses that says Allah does ask his believers to use wasila. You see, the difference between Muslims and Wahhabis in general is this, because we have a lot of Sunnis that actually do visit graves, do ask for the shifa of the Holy Prophet. It's only Wahhabis in this sense that don't.
Yeah. That's all right.
This is there.
Okay. So, can we see, for example, any similarities between the Wahhabis and the Kharijites or Khawarij? Could we see that, historically speaking?
The Khawarij are somewhat different than Wahhabis. They might have similarities, but not as such, because they believe in the concept, the whole basis of Kharijites is the concept of Kufr and Iman.
Yes.
Where Kufr and Iman, according to them, if anyone does greater sins, any of the greater sins, he is neither mu'min or kafir.
Okay.
He is somewhere between. You see, while the Wahhabis do not wait for gunahani kabire or the greater sins.
Greater sins, that's right.
What they do is, for example, right now, if you see anyone that does not follow their ideology according to their own books is a kafir.
That's right.
So either you are a muwahidun or kafir. There is nothing like Sunni or Shia according to them. However, they use the basis of Sunni to propagate Islam according to their ideologies.
That's right. There are so many books written on criticizing the Wahhabis' viewpoints. Some of the most important ones are Minhaj al-Irshad, Liman Arad al-Sadat by Sheikh Jafar Kashif al-Ghita, Wahhabism by written by Ayatollah Jafar Subhani, Mawsu'at al-Naqdiya by Wahhabiyya. You know, again, this has been a Mawsu'ah, a collection of the books written on criticizing the Wahhabism, written by Ahl al-Sunnah themselves, because these ideas are even criticized by Wahhabism and so many other outstanding books. Kashf al-Irtiyab fi Atba' Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Muhsin Amin al-Amali, the outstanding Shiite scholar, has written also this book in criticism of Wahhabism. Thank you very much, Brother Suhail.
I would like to advise one more book by Ahmad al-Tijani.
Ahmad Tijani.
The book's name is All Solutions Are With the Progeny of the Holy Prophet.
Oh, Prophet, that's right.
Of which it does talk a bit about these issues, and where he has a debate with one of the greatest scholars of Wahhabism that came in, and the way he was able to dictify this
that's
person.
Right.
And the followers that came to see the debate, they ended up accepting Tijani
yes.
by thanking him, because they were always believing on what they were saying. The discussion was related to the topic of tawassul.
That's right.
And that's when it got sorted, and a lot of them accepted this truth.
Okay.
For him, yeah.
Thank you very much, Brother Sohail, for a nice explanation, giving us fruitful discussion and really outstanding and rich details regarding Wahhabism during the history of Islam. It was a kind of you. Thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي حسين وحسن
Palestinian flag, independence and resistance.
Part 2.
On July 16, 2004, Ismail was sitting with his cousins. I told them that it was Ramadan and that they shouldn't be playing football and bothering the neighbors. The street is too narrow to play football. It's 2 meters wide, which is not enough room. All of us here are brothers and cousins. We live in a sector of homes the size of 1 square kilometer, which houses 1,000 people thereabouts. Ismail said he was going to play outside with his cousins. It was sunny and hot, so they went to the beach to play as they often do. It's not far, and it's the only suitable place to play, next to the part of the beach reserved for swimming.
Stay in here, son. There's shelling outside. He said he wanted to go to his uncle's house to play with their kids.
Ahid is my one and only grandson. He came after 9 granddaughters. Zakaria, my beloved son, the youngest. He was spoiled. He was my entire life.
I am accompanied by Al-Sayed, Hamada, Yunus, Ismail, Ahid, and Muhammad, and we're heading now to the spot where we used to play as kids. We are fishermen, and so the sea is our life. We are always on the sea.
The Bak family is a renowned family. We're known to be fishermen by trade. We inherited that from our fathers and from their forefathers, who inherited it from Sheikh Bak. The sea is life and breath to us. When our children want to play, they go to the beach.
We set up the goals here and divided ourselves into 4 teams, and we played football. The boys said they're thirsty. They wanted to go drink some water and come back. I took them to get some water, and when we came back,
we resumed and finished the first round. In the middle of the second round, Ismail kicked the ball and it landed next to the container. We asked him to go get it. He brought it back. along with Mortazim, Zachariah, Ahid, and Muhammad.
The warships were there. We saw that they were filming us. They sent a missile to the beach and it wiped out my cousin. The first missile landed there, killed my cousin Ismail, and we started running to get off the beach.
The rest of the group came running toward us. We saw them, but Ismail wasn't with them. Bashir Abu Warfa was standing there. When he heard the explosion, he came out from the tent. He stood by us while we told him that Ismail was killed. The other children reached us.
They fired a second missile and it landed here.
We decided, Hamada, Yunus and I, to hide behind the tent. Montasir was on the ground. They fired another missile at us as we fell behind the tent. Yunus hid in a barrel while Hamada and I kept running. Montasir ran with us. Hamada and Montasir entered the tent seconds after us. Bashir Abu Warfa was crying out, "O people, help us. The children are dead. The children are dead."
Four of those eight kids were basically vaporized when the bombs hit. Their young bodies could not be identified or even found amongst the debris left behind. The other four dispersed in different directions, not knowing the fate of each other, as more bombs actually followed them. Ambulances and journalists came, but it was all over.
Badly wounded, I crawled until I reached help. Someone laid me on the ground and left to bring an ambulance. They wrapped my head in a bandage and laid me down. I was in a coma, so at the time, I didn't know who was killed and who was still alive.
They laid Montasim by a wall, thinking he was dead. Hamas fainted. Yunus sat next to his brother and I was weeping over my brother and cousins.
This other boy was with them. He came over yelling, "Mama, Mama." I said to him, "What's the matter?" He said, "Muhammad was martyred." I said, "How come Muhammad was martyred? Are you sure? You must be lying because Muhammad was here just now." He said that Muhammad was killed. I said he wasn't. But then I saw it air on TV, children killed on the beach. The girls cried. "He was our son of 20 years. We cry over you every day, son. You are never out of our thoughts."
Each day since the day Ismail was martyred, I have gone to the beach to spot where he was killed, and I've searched for his remains, hoping the sea had washed them up. I remembered that day vividly. When I reached the hospital, I realized what I had witnessed, a massacre against humanity. Where is the humanity? Ismail's senseless murder has forever taken the smile and joy from my home.
Zakaria, Ahid and Mortasim, who was injured but thought to be dead. Ismail and all of our kids were dead. I would not wish this on anyone. Everyone saw us on TVs and internet. What can I possibly say? I say occupation took my first grandson, who called me grandma.
The survivors of that tragic day come back to the beach, not to play as they did before, but to sit, to remember, vainly searching for a rational reason to an irrational act. It was a blatant war crime, which claimed the lives of their four relatives, with no one thus far held accountable. Meanwhile, they suffer from physical injuries themselves and the psychological trauma of it all.
Life without them is meaningless and full of despair. I'm not saying that because they are my brothers, but for the sake of all Palestinians, all of children. If I was flying a jet and I saw Jewish children playing, I wouldn't target them because they are just children playing. They could see from after that we were children.
They could tell we were a bunch of kids playing. They deliberately target and kill the children of Gaza and Palestine. They want to uproot them at a young age so they won't grow up and become resistors. So they bomb them at this young age.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. Today we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Dear listeners, Professor Nakavi is a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University, and we have had this pleasure to have him in the studio. We, in this program, discuss your problems, questions related to the Islamic upbringing and different topics which have a very great deal with the Islamic upbringing of children. And the answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad and his family, may peace be upon them. Well, Professor Nakavi, in this episode, I want to talk with you about obedience. Well, there are some parents who actually with the fear that their children towards them, especially the teens, should not have a disobedient behavior, do not interfere in many things wherein they should have interference. What do you say about that?
So we need to understand that our children, of course, at different phases of their lives, our behavior and attitude towards them too should change. Especially if we have, at the early age, if we have taken care of their feelings and emotions and let them express themselves as freely as possible, and we have not suppressed their feelings.
Okay.
And they have been, they have gone through that era of the initial 5-7 years of life where they have been free to move as they like, but of course within limits.
Okay.
So we shouldn't expect that at a later age the child would be someone who is always, you know, shouting and screaming and so and expressing his anger or her anger in a way that offends us or any offends someone else. So that that is one that cause, if it has taken and been taken away, we shouldn't expect that to happen. But of course, as I said, it has to be within limits because.
So the first problem comes over here. When, as teens, our children are not listening much, and we also are not interfering in order not to expect a disobedient behavior from them. So the problem starts from here. As a child, they were supposed to express themselves as freely as possible. If this expression of freeness is suppressed as a child, that's how they want to actually express all that in their teens. Exactly. And then we get out of, we can't control things.
Of course. And then the second stage, when they're supposed to be a little bit, they should start becoming obedient, because the first stage, their energy has been, it becomes vaporized. It becomes lesser than it is than it should be. When the child is able to calm down at a later age, at the second half, 7 years,
okay,
he's supposed to become an obedient person. There we need to teach him to become obedient.
All right.
And we need to tell him what to do and tell him what not to do.
So this obedience should not be inculcated at some time like in the 20s. It should be inculcated in the second phase of Islamic upbringing, which is 7 to 14.
Exactly. In the first stage, they should learn by observing us, what we're doing.
All right. So you don't have to ignore teaching them obedience. You have to be teaching them in a very informal way.
Exactly. The first 7 years should... Everything is informal. I mean, in an indirect way.
Yeah.
By if the child... Whatever you want the child to do in the second 7 years, he should have observed you
doing all that in the first 7 years.
First 7 years.
Yes, that's very important. Well, we'll discuss more on this after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned for this.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqavi, and we are discussing obedience. Professor Naqavi, before going to the break, our discussion reached a point that obedience has to be inculcated at the second phase, that is 7 to 14 years, but not to be ignored in the first 7 years as well. In the first 7 years, you said you have to teach that with your actions, because a child is observing each and everything.
Because everything which he observes or she observes, it becomes imprinted in his or her mind. At that early age, this printing machine in his mind is working very, fast. So whatever is observed is going to be imitated. And especially how you express your love. If he does or she does, the child does a good thing, you should commend him, you should show your love for him and thank him and congratulate him, give him something as a gift, as a reward. And if there's something wrong which is being done, the child does something wrong which should not be done, then you should express your displeasure in a very mild way that he or she realizes that you're not happy with it. Or a very mild punishment is given to make them realize that that mistake has been made. But should be under, as I said, the cover of love. The Allah Almighty, as I said before, the love of Allah, the mercy of Allah, goes beyond His wrath and His anger. His mercy is said in some traditions and narrations that we have, رَحْمَتُهُ سَبَقَتْ غَزَبَهُ. His mercy and His love overtake His
anger
and wrath. Overtakes means that, as I said, it's His love engulfs the anger. Anger is a part of the love that is being given to a person. So in the same way, the child should feel that you are rewarding him or punishing him because of that.
Yeah.
Then in the second part you want him to be obedient. You want him to carry out things which are wajib, because at 7 years of age, it is recommended that the child should start offering prayers also, as a preparation for becoming baligh. When he becomes baligh, it becomes wajib. So the preparation, training should start before that.
All
now
right.
You want him to do it, then you need to command him to do it. Do it, make him obedient. But also, even in the first stage...
So you are saying that not just being obedient towards his parents, you have to, the main goal of teaching him obedience is to be obedient towards Allah, and that should not actually start from the age of his puberty. That should start quite...
Earlier,
so that he does not have some problems when he reaches that age and he has some kind of issues in actually obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should not face those troubles and difficulties when he reaches that particular age, when it becomes wajib, obligatory on him to carry out the rulings of Islam. Well, Professor, we will be discussing more after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, be like a friendly physician who applies medicine where it is useful.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Zainab with Professor Nakavi, and we are discussing love and obedience under the umbrella term of Islamic upbringing. Well, Professor, we have some kids who are very, very, as they grow up, even in their childhood, they are very for example, there are some kids I remember I have observed who say, no, I should be doing this thing. I should be the first person taking this thing. I should be the first person doing this and that. And then as they become elder, their wishes are not fulfilled, they start becoming aggressive. So how do these aggressive children, how do we teach them obedience, and if it's like late?
No, it's not late for anything. It's never late. But of course, if you have a good start, then that would be...
It's never too late to learn then.
Yes. Having a better start is, as I said, making them do something by imitating us and showing them how to be obedient. Obedient to Allah Almighty, I should show them how to become obedient to Allah Almighty. Even obedience to myself, I become show obedience to my parents in front of my children.
All right.
My love, I expect him to observe this holy verse of Allah Almighty, where Allah Almighty, after talking about the importance of worshipping him,
yeah.
Allah Almighty, that we should wabil walidain ihsana. We should be doing good to our parents. So I should know, show my child and demonstrate to my child how I am showing my carrying out good deeds for my parents.
So I just don't have to put this verse in the beautiful font in a beautiful Quran on my shelf. I have to actually demonstrate these verses in different ways in front of my child.
And basically we should realize generally that wherever Allah Almighty talks about his obedience, he puts bil walidayni ihsana after it.
Okay.
In a few verses, that shows the importance of the doing goodness to your parents, respecting your parents, loving your parents. And it is of such worth that it follows the worship of Allah Almighty.
All right.
So we need to demonstrate that. We also can demonstrate obedience and show obedience and tell him to be a person who listens to others when we listen to him.
Yeah.
And sometimes let him express his feelings, express his thoughts. We should be allowing him to do that, especially in the second part of
his life. The second phase of Islamic.
In the first part, we can show him if he wants something, I will do that for you as you have asked me to do so, but you need to do this for me also.
In return.
So there should be, consequences, consequences, rewards, punishments. And even I obey him, he wants something from me. the child, I
fulfill
say, okay,
it.
I obey you, but it should be something which is allowed. It should not be. So when that happens, and there's a balanced thing, then that aggressiveness will not happen.
All right.
But this aggressiveness is something because of the suppression of things that has taken place, has taken place in the early time.
Stages of life.
Now, this aggressiveness has to be managed and controlled. And wherever he becomes or she becomes aggressive, then he or she should be somehow either... There should be a social boycott to an extent,
yeah.
Or there should be some sort of, you know, punishment,
yeah.
Which makes him or her realize that this is crossing the limits, and so
this is not allowed. There should be rules. There should be some laws in the family, and which should be followed. Because as long as you don't have rules, you don't expect a child to be obeying.
I mean, he or she should realize that by aggression, showing aggressive behavior, you can't get what you want.
All right. Well, that's very important. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Everyone has a beloved. A new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
Allah, 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 Allah.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah, subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah, walhamdulillah. Allahu ya Allah, wallahu akbar.
I would like to remind the honorable pilgrims that throughout the journey of Mecca and Medina, they should not be lax in familiarizing with the Holy Quran, this divine scripture and book of guidance. It is because whatever the Muslims have had so far and will have in the future comes from the blessings of this sacred scripture. By the same token, I request all the distinguished ulama, the children of the Quran, and the eminent scholars not to be negligent of this sacred book, which is the exposition of all things, and which shines forth from the station of divine union to the heart of the first light and the manifestation of the perfect union.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. You're listening to Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. Well, in this program, what we do is to read some of the valuable speeches and words of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh and explain about their interpretations. We hope that in that way, we as lovers of this great character would come to a deeper understanding of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh and his thoughts and ideologies. Well, there is a speech from Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh about the religion of Islam in which he says that Islam has come for mankind, not for Muslims or Iranians only. The prophets are assigned to men, and so was the prophet of Islam. Well, this sentence is a good answer to one of the most controversial topics of today's world. You know that recently there has been a great debate that every religion should be followed in its original geographical place, and there is no need for other people or lands or languages to follow that religion. There are some groups of people who claim that Islam belongs to Arab countries because of the language of Quran is in Arabic. And unfortunately, such a view comes from the racial and dogmatic thoughts. And that is why Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh emphasized on the globality of Islam with no trace of dogmatism.
Ya Rabbana salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi
sallallahu alayhi
salli ala
He, as a non-Arab Muslim, encourages every person in the world to accept Islam, and no matter what their language or nationality be. And this way of looking at a religion is quite noble and praiseworthy. His statement is in line with the Quranic verse, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Blessed is he who sent down the criterion to his servant, that he may be a warner to all the nations. Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 1. Well, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the universality of Islam to be followed by the whole world. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh is referring to the mission of the prophets of any religion, and that mission is to inform people about God, heaven, and hell. Well, that is what we talked about in this episode. We talked about the globality of Islam from Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi's point of view. Let's recite his sentence about the subject of religion of Islam. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said that Islam has come for mankind, not for Muslims or Iranians only. The prophets are assigned to men, and so was the prophet of Islam.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of law.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 5th, 2023. I'm Atefer Fani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Pro Tama Prom from Bangladesh. Osman Ramos Reyes from Guatemala has sent us reception report, and Bashir Ahmad from India. So, Pro Tama, Osman and Bashir, thank you very much for sending us these reception reports. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And of course, we've received emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails. Ding Lu from China has sent us an email. From Guatemala, we've received an email from Osman Adrian Ramos. Muhammad Akram from Pakistan has sent us an email. From Italy, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Dario Gabrielli, and Nektarios Manousos from Greece, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Please stay with us. We will be back with you. This is Listeners Special, and as I said, we've received an email from China from Ding Lu. So let's see what Ding Lu says. Dear IRIB English Radio, I am a listener from China. My name is Ding Lu. Today I received your English language program signal here in Jiangsu province. The signal is very strong. Here, I want to apply for a paper QSL card from IRIB English Radio, if possible. I wish IRIB English Radio staff good health. All the best. I like to collect paper QSL cards of radio stations all over the world. I hope to collect QSL cards of IRIB English Radio, too. Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Iran. Ding Lu from China, appreciations to you for this email. And it's good to hear that you could receive our signals in your region, in Jiangsu province, which you found it very strong. That's good. We also wish you good health and all the best. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification, since sending any material, including paper QSL card in the time of pandemic, is not possible. Anyway, Ding Lu from China, thank you again. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And any view or opinion on behalf of you about IRIB English Radio broadcast is welcomed. Thank you again, Ding Lu from China. And here we've received an email from Guatemala from Osman Adrian Ramos. So let's see what Osman says. Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for your email. I send you greetings from Guatemala, where I can occasionally listen to you when propagation condition allows it. Keep up the good work. Salam, Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala, and warm greetings to you from Tehran. Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala, thank you very much for this email. We are so pleased to hear that our signals are received in your country, which is geographically far from Iran. But as you may know, radio is a good means to bring us all together. Iran and Guatemala with other countries, and that's great. Anyway, Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. We wish you all the best, and please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Thank you. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Muhammad Akram from Pakistan has sent us a piece of email. Muhammad says, "Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, I hope that you would be fine. And my club friends and I are absolutely fit and fine. I am a new listener of your service. I listen to your programs daily. I found all the programs very informative and interesting. I have a request, and that is you post me a program guide and other items. Salam, Muhammad Akram, and warm greetings to you from Tehran. Thank you very much for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. Also, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. That's great to hear that you listen to IRIB English Radio programs daily and you find it very informative and interesting. It's good to hear that. So, you're a new listener of IRIB English Radio, and we welcome you to the world of IRIB English Radio, which opens a new window to the world developments and Iran. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification, since sending any item, any material in the time of pandemic is not possible. So for the time being, please accept our eQSL as verification. And to find the program guide, you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en, and there you can find our program schedule and frequencies and program guide. Anyway, Muhammad Akram from Pakistan, send our greetings to your club friends. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. So here we go to another email from Dario Gabrielli from Italy. Dario Gabrielli is one of our old and regular listeners who says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, with great pleasure I received your reply. I am very happy that you received my reception report sent some time ago via email. I want to inform you that every week I listen to the broadcast in English because I don't like listening to internet radio. I wish you a good continuation from the northeast of Italy." Salam and warm greetings to you, Dario Gabrielli from Italy, and thank you very much for this email. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification, and it's good to hear that you're interested in listening to shortwave radio. And that's the way almost everyone likes, I mean, listening to the traditional kind of radio. That's good, Dario Gabrielli from Italy. Thank you very much for this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. From Greece, we've received an email from Nektarios Manousos, one of our regular listeners. Nektarios says, "Dear friends, I would like to report a reception of your medium waves broadcast. If my reception report of your program was correct, I hope that you will send me your QSL verification card or your eQSL, which will do too. In case that you will need more program details for the verification, please let me know so I can get back to you in the future. Also, you can find a few technical details of my reception, which I hope it will be useful to your staff." It was really fun listening to your broadcast. I learned things for sure. That's the magic of the radio, and I definitely would like to hear you again in the future. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Nektarios Manousos from Greece, and please accept our warm appreciations to you for this great email. It was detailed and